Are you following Ryan Paganetti yet?
Oh, yeah. No, right after
he's like, they blew that.
Right
Georgia
after,
Tech.
Right after you had him on the show, I started following him. Yeah.
So they ran their plays too quickly.
Okay.
When they had the ball.
Yeah.
Could have bled a lot more clock and given themselves a much better chance of winning. But they didn't know that.
But they missed a kick anyway, right? Like, what just happened there? What did we just listen to?
The possession before that, maybe?
Oh, I see.
I didn't watch it.
Okay. All right.
With us now on the...
I got the impression they lost on a missed field goal, and I'm not sure what the... But maybe they... Yeah, whatever. All right.
There's something there.
I didn't see Paganetti on that.
Sam will know. With us now on the Westher Hotline is Sam Paniadovich. You know his work from Fox Chicago, Bet Sweats, Chicken Dinner, Bars maybe. You've seen Sam. He's been with us a long time. WGR. We'll be like right after those other jobs.
We gotta get in your Twitter bio, Sam. That's what we need. Regular contributor.
Yeah. What do you think of that? Would you consider doing that?
I could be convinced, yes. What's in it for me, though?
Nothing. I don't know.
Nothing.
Clout.
Right.
Obvious clout.
People will ask you, what does that mean? You know, I go on with those guys once a week for 10 minutes or 20.
You know, Sam.
I want to minimize your impact, Sam.
I ask this as a compliment to you. Might you have been invested last night in Buffalo, Albany?
No, the only bet I made last night was Colorado plus 6.5. I did not take UMass plus 29 against Rutgers. What a bet that would have been.
Right.
Rutgers pays them $1.5 million, and then they come in and whoop. And then did you guys see after the game, Rutgers loses as like a 29-point favorite, and then they do a fireworks show after the game.
Oh, I love that. Got to do it. We said we would.
I love that Rutgers is back. We there was a Friday night last football season where this is changing because my wife's schedule changed, but like oftentimes I'd get out of here on a Friday and go to the bar and just have a couple of beers and, you know, wait for some people I know to get there and sort of hang out. But I'm there early and I'm looking at my phone. I'm texting with Sam. And this is not to call you out. You're like, Rutgers, get on Rutgers with me or something. I did.
Not last night.
Good. But it totally went sideways. I don't remember what happened, but it was not. It ended up not being a good pick.
I just saw the only thing I saw from that game was the handshake. And it's like, oh, right. Greg Schiano. Yes, this is great watching him lose.
Yes.
I love watching him. Certain coaches, you just love to watch them lose.
It's the number one appeal of college football game. To me is hating the coaches.
Bulldog, that was an Iowa-Rutgers game. I'll never forget that. And that was funny because, you know, last year, and we'll get into a couple of bets I like, obviously, for this weekend. I think we had a pretty good run last year. And I'd usually just give you guys like one bet. And I think at the time we were like 6-2 or 5-2. You know, might have been feeling a little confident and texted Bulldog a little extra. Like, I really like Rutgers tonight. You know, I was
right.
Feeling it.
Yep.
And then, like, Bulldog will never text after a win or a loss. But that one, I feel like I pushed the envelope a little far. And, that Iowa cracked Rutgers. But there was, like, a pick six in the game.
Yeah.
You know, you hate when that happens.
I think, it went sideways almost right away. I feel like maybe the pick six was right away. It was just like, what are we doing here?
Yep.
But, hey, listen, I'm teasing you all in good fun. You gave our audience last week North Carolina.
Yeah, that was nice. I didn't think they were going to win the game. But, look, this is the lesson early in these seasons. You know, a lot of teams are priced in Vegas on what they did last season. And TCU's offense was really good last year. The problem is their quarterback is gone. He transferred to Indiana. Josh Hoover, Cignetti pulled him away. And, you know, they went. TCU thought that they could just go into Harvard and transfer their quarterback in, and it's just not the same thing.
Right.
So, I don't know if you guys watched that game. It was a total rock fight, which is exactly what Belichick wants to do. The final score was like 15-13 or something like that. And I remember we talked about that on Friday when, ironically enough, I was at a bar this time around. And I said 9 is too many. Now, I didn't think they would win, but
right.
A lot of these big numbers, you know, in week number one, it's not really a true testament of what these teams are. It's more what they were. And you can find some really nice numbers in week one and even in week two.
Do you think that translates to the NFL, or is there just too much information, too much stability relative to college football? Like I've got, maybe you do too, survivor pools. And yesterday Bulldog and I were talking about the Dolphins Raiders game. Like I just can't. One 8chan run, one good pass and Miami wins. Like, it's just, I mean, there aren't too many games that are more than like 3.5 on Sunday, week one next week. But do you think, does the same principle apply to the pros?
It's a good question. The problem is the rosters are so much smaller and there's just really not that much turnover. Now, you know, if a star defensive end isn't there anymore, that's a big deal. Left tackle's worth a ton. And obviously, if you're going to a new quarterback, that changes a ton, especially if the quarterback is a rookie. You know, like when the Raiders go to Fernando Mendoza, now you have a rookie quarterback, a hobbled running back, and a terrible offensive line. Like, that's not great, but also, like, it wasn't great last year. So you don't see a lot of changes. Like, the biggest example in recent memory is when, you know, Brady goes to the Bucs. You know, that was a team that was like 80-1 to win the Super Bowl, and then Brady goes there and, oh my God, now they're 10-1. You know, like, that's a drastic change, but you don't tend to see it that much in the NFL year to year. In college, though, with NIL guys, I mean, you know, some of these teams, I was doing a preview the other day of a Memphis game. Memphis has 75 new players this year. Like, what? Well, how is that even possible?
Wow.
You know, there's 90 guys on a team and 75 of their guys are new. So, in college, like I said, I think it's very difficult for these bookmakers to go year to year because it used to be linear. You know, a quarterback would go there, he'd stay a couple of years, he'd start as a junior and a senior, and then he'd maybe go to the NFL. Now you got a quarterback who could be on three teams in 3 years. It's just crazy.
Speaking of Brady, I was already, you know, planning to mention this, but I love that point about the unknown quarterback. Like, we'll see if Mendoza, whenever it happens, doesn't walk on the field and make a huge difference. Brady, I was in Las Vegas for his first start in 2001, and they were 0-2, New England. They had Peyton Manning and the Colts, and nobody liked them. Like, there was just no reason to think that was going to be an upgrade from Bledsoe. Mm-hmm. And they blew out the Colts. They won by, like, 30 points his first game. Like, okay, this one, maybe we could have known this.
Right.
Maybe we could have known this.
Looking back, wow, okay. They knew what they were doing there.
Yeah, and I wonder how the lines moved after that. Like, right away, I wonder if he just got, like, that kind of respect or not. But they won the Super Bowl that year. So hopefully you came around to that.
It probably took a while, though, because I feel like I don't know what betting lines were doing at that time. But I know how it sounded on the radio, and it was like waiting for him to turn into a pumpkin for maybe
years,
even that whole year. Like, yes. It was into the next year, maybe the year after.
Yes.
There's a playoff game in Pittsburgh, I remember, him throwing it all over them and going like,
well, they cheated.
Like, okay, I don't think this is just like he's got a great coach. I think maybe this guy's pretty good.
Yeah. How far do you go back, Sam? That's 2001. You probably remember that. You're old enough to remember that stuff.
Let's see. In that Super Bowl, I'm not good with Super Bowl numbers, but I know it was the 2001 season because they had like the 9/11, you know, remembrance before the game. It was the Patriots and the Rams, and that I was in seventh grade, and I bet my buddy because I found out that the point spread was 14. Like, the Rams were a 14-point favorite in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And I told my fellow seventh grade friend that I will take the points, and didn't need them because they won the game outright. But I mean, that was, guys, that's one of the biggest upsets in the history of the NFL playoffs.
Sure.
The Patriots were a 14-point dog in that game and won it outright.
Yeah.
Listen, this is embarrassing. I really didn't understand how point spreads worked until I started working with Mike.
Oh, boy.
Like, in 2003. You're in seventh grade and going, give me the points.
Yeah, I love it.
Just like,
you were born to do what you do, Sam.
Thank you, Mike.
Is there anything, what jumps out at you, college? Is it a better schedule this weekend? I mean, there's more games, obviously. So, but what stands out? Who do you like? Not so much what are the best matchups, but like, what do you like betting-wise?
In week one, which is weird because we just played a whole weekend of games, right? Like, yeah. This is week one now. I'll never understand that. But the two that I really like are, number one is Houston. Houston's playing Oregon State, and crazily enough, Houston's a 20.5-point favorite, but Houston is one of 12 teams in the country that brings back the following four things. Starting quarterback, head coach, OC, DC. Only 12 teams do that,
wow.
And Houston's one of them. So that's a big deal in this landscape of college football. I also talked to a former bookmaker who now bets professionally, and he said his number on the game is 27. So when he said that, I had already liked Houston. Mm-hmm. I made a nice bet on Houston minus 20.5. And then the second game, there's a weather game it's a weather game in Hawaii, guys. I was reading a bunch of reports this morning about this Hurricane Lowell, and you hate to handicap hurricanes, but I mean, at the end of the day, this number was 58.5 2 days ago.
Oh,
on Bear Bets, I gave it out at 57. Now it's down to 56. If we see footage of this, you know, stadium tomorrow, and the wind is ripping through and the flags are just going crazy and there's a monsoon, I mean, how much lower could it go? 53, 52.5? So I would bet this right now, because this is how it works. People will flip on the game and see the pregame and see the storms and go, oh, I like the under. But this could move three more points. So I like Houston minus 20.5 and the UNLV Hawaii game under 56.5 right now.
UNLV Hawaii. We are so back. Oh, Sam, yeah. Panayotovich with us.
All the way back.
I texted Sam the other day about a possible offensive player of the year idea in the NFL, Jameson Williams of the Lions. But what I mean, it's a big long shot bet. What I don't like about it, of course, is like there are two other, if not three, really good offensive players, weapons on the Lions. Like he would have to come in way above St. Brown and Gibbs, right. I think, to win. But you said you were open to it, right?
I'm open to anything at the right price. I mean, do I think it's going to happen? No. But then you throw the amount out there and what the payout would be, and it's a different conversation. Like, I don't hate anybody taking a shot, you know, betting a little to win a lot. Like, that's where I live. I look at, like, I'm not answering the question the way you asked it, but, like, on the Bears, for example, like, they've got a lot of really good players. And the one that Ben Johnson likes the most is Luther Burden. Like, he has been gushing about this kid all offseason and through training camp and heading into the regular season. That guy's 100-1 right now. And it's like, oh, okay. Like, if Ben really likes him and keeps going out of his way to say that Luther Burden's going to be that guy this year, maybe 2 + 2 = 4. But then you look around that Bears roster, and Caleb is obviously really, really good. And they have a couple other weapons, and they like Colson Loveland a lot. So, you know, Burden's got the upside. But if the coach is saying all the right things and the player has the pedigree and the talent, and then you look at the 100-1, you're like, all right, he might not be the best player, but there's a path here. So whether it's Jameson Williams or whether it's Matthew Golden with the Packers or Luther Burden with the Bears, like, there are some really good players at some really big prices, no doubt.
Williams is 200-1, and the Burden example, Burden does not have that sort of, you know, clutter, so to speak, in his way. You mentioned, you know, Loveland, but Swift is hurt now maybe too, right? Sam, what's the latest on Swift?
Yeah, Swift,
in Chicago.
He had cramps. He had cramps yesterday. Okay. Menunga's banged up, though. I've always been in the Dunze guy personally. I think he's really, really good. I think he gets a lot of flack for no reason. But, look, I mean, the reality is you're going to have to outlast a lot of really good players. I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs is the odds-on favorite right now, you know, to be the offensive player of the year. But if you're going to hit one of these guys at triple digits, you're going to need a lot of production, obviously, but you're going to need other guys that have down years, and you're going to need some injury luck too.
Right. Bears and Carolina in week one. Bulldogs already on it. He was on Chicago like 2 months ago for our pick segment next week.
Right.
Wow.
Anything else, Sam? What are you thinking about that we haven't talked about? White Sox, baseball?
Well, I'm walking in the Sox right now. It is a magic wand night in the spirit of Harry Potter.
Yes.
They're giving away 20,000 magic wands. I believe we
what kind of projectile potential do these wands have, Sam?
I just can't wait to see the clientele. It's 90 degrees outside, Bulldog. You're going to see all these people in wool outfits. It's going to be crazy.
Right.
But think about this. The White Sox are still going to make the playoffs, and Mike's going to cash that 10-1 ticket. And all the audience that hopped in on 66.5 over, White Sox sitting currently on 73 wins. I think we're going to be okay, guys.
Has won already, yeah. Sneaky Joe was excited to tell me about that at that golf outing we had last week. He's like, I got there on the White Sox. I'm like, I heard.
All right.
So
you know what's funny? You bring that up. I haven't heard from Sneaky Joe since that hit, by the way.
Interesting. Well, he's on paternity leave at the moment, so maybe that's why.
Oh. Well, all it takes is a quick log that's into right. The messages part of the phone and just, hey, thanks for the White Sox.
I'm with you on that. Least
when
you
they,
can do.
When they started 1-5, he texted me, I don't know about these White Sox.
Oh, that's not good. That's not cool. Definitely send that message, Joe, if you're out there listening right now.
Yeah, when I was teasing you last year about that Rutgers game, it was more funny to me that it was going sideways. Like, I wasn't like, oh, this is terrible, you're a jerk. It was just like, wow, good bet.
Can't win them all.
Right, just, wow, good bet.
Nice. All right, Sam, thanks for this. Enjoy your Labor Day weekend. We'll talk next week, week one.
All right, you guys too. And, yeah, again, get that Hawaii under, because if this weather is as bad as it could be, that 56.5 could be like 53 tomorrow night.
On my way. Thanks again, Sam. Sam Paniadovich on the Westshore Hotline. The Twins, I think, are in town for Harry Potter night in Chicago. I think it's the Twins this weekend. Coming up in about 16 minutes, Jim Coventry of RotoWire will talk some fantasy football as drafts are wrapping up here before the season. Gord Stellick later next hour. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.